pray that God would have His way this morning. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God in the presence of the Lord this morning. In the book of Exodus, chapter 3, probably very familiar to Scripture to most of us, the Bible said, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and the priests of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, which the bush is not burnt, or why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Now flip over to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3. Just two verses of Scripture. Habakkuk chapter 3, the Bible said, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet of Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. Our Father, as we come to you this morning, I thank you. I am so honored today to stand behind this holy desk and proclaim the Word of God. I thank you that, Father, you chose me and placed that Holy Spirit anointing, that preaching anointing upon me, and that I am just one in a great number of men that you've done that to. But I ask you this morning, Lord, that you would anoint these lips, that you would use me for your glory and for your praise. I thank you for each one that's here this day. And I pray, God, that you would anoint the ears of the hearers of this message, that we might hear, thus saith the Lord, and apply it to our heart, and we'll glorify you and praise you for the results, for it's in Jesus' lovely name that we ask it. Amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord, in the house of the Lord this morning. I really began to think about this after the funeral yesterday. And God brought this. I probably hadn't read this scripture maybe one or two times in 35 years of ministry. I mean, I don't know of too many preachers that go to Habakkuk and all these little prophets and preach out of them. But every once in a while, there is a gold nugget in there. Amen? So in this scripture, as the Lord brought it to me and God spoke to my heart yesterday and directed me to this particular scripture, He brought something out in the second verse that I want to preach to you about this morning. Habakkuk had a prayer here. He was praying a prayer and he said, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. Twice in this one verse of Scripture, Habakkuk uses this phrase, in the midst of the years. And I think about this morning, a young couple, maybe childhood sweethearts that, they have been in love since maybe high school. And this young couple marries and they begin to work together and they begin to dream together and they begin to plan a life together. And all too quickly, as they do this, children come along and maybe they build a house and they begin to love each other and they begin to form a life together. But in the midst of the years, the children grow up. They finish school. They went their own way. Time is marching on. There's none of us can stop it. None of us can change it. And the plans and the dreams that this young couple had for the years as time marched on, in the midst of the years, the children left home. And all of a sudden, the interest has waned between the spouses. There's no longer affection for each other. And in the midst of the years, while they were living life, something happened. How many of you know that's all too true in all too many scenarios? While we're living life, while we're in the midst of years, while we're going through our life, the plans that we have changed and things that we're going to do this week have to be changed next week. And in the midst of years, things happen. Sadly, all too often we use a phrase, "we used to." Amen? It applies to so many people in so many situations, but I'm afraid that it also applies to church congregation and churches in general. A church used to be on fire. They used to be going for God. They had members that were interested in what was going on. They used to do that. But in the midst of years, something happened. They got comfortable. Things changed. Too many people start out with dreams and plans for the future, but in the midst of the years, something goes wrong. So the prayer of Habakkuk was, "O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, remember mercy." Habakkuk was desiring of God that God would revive his work, that he would refresh or renew us in spirit this morning. I believe that's the message of this. All of us, you and I, as we sit in this church this morning, all of us are from somewhere. Some of you are from Evans. Some of you are from Greeley. Some of you are from Missouri. Some of you are from Kansas. But you are somewhere you came from. You didn't just suddenly appear here this morning, or at least I hope not. So you are from somewhere. Not only are you from somewhere, but you are somewhere. Today, you're in Evans, Colorado, in the sanctuary of Harvest Time Tabernacle, amen, listening to a preacher get a message across that come from the throne room of God. So not only are you from somewhere, but you are somewhere. Not only are you somewhere this morning, but I got news for you. You're going somewhere. You're headed down the road. And a lot of the journey that you're on, it began at the cradle, it's going to end at the grave. In the midst of those years, things happen. All too often, the things that we don't like to see happen. Psalm 16:11 says, "These three things, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore." After all, isn't that what all of us are seeking as we go through life from the cradle to the grave? Aren't we looking for the path of life? Aren't we looking for the direction of life? Each of us are looking for that. Also, I don't know of anybody that's not looking for happiness and joy in their life. I don't know of anybody that gets up one morning when they're about 22 years old and says, "I think I'll be miserable for the rest of my life. I think I'll go out and make all the mistakes I can, do all the wrong things, and just be miserable for the rest of my life." No, we are seeking joy. We are seeking happiness. We are looking for happiness in our life. Our plans, our dreams are based on wanting to be happy, wanting to have joy, wanting to have relationships. But in the midst of the years, as we live our life, things happen. Strange things happen. But we're looking for it. We're always on the go. People are moving around this nation more now than ever before. And the main reason they're moving is they're not happy where they are. They're going somewhere else. So in Exodus chapter 2, we find the story of a boy by the name of Moses. Now, I found a very interesting thing about Moses. The word Moses, or the name Moses, means a stranger here. That should explain a whole lot of things to a whole lot of people. But anyway, Pharaoh, the children of Israel were down in Egypt. They were in bondage and slavery to the Egyptians. Pharaoh had passed a decree. He said, "Here's the way it's going to be. Every man child born to an Israeli woman, we're going to throw him in the river. We're going to kill him." Now, if it's a female child, we're going to keep that child alive. So the king of Egypt had passed this law that said, if a woman from Israel has a man child, we're going to destroy that child. So Moses' mother has this beautiful little baby boy. And she contrived a plan whereby she could keep him alive by forming a basket. We all know the story. And putting him in this basket made of reeds and floating him out into the river. And to make a long story short, Pharaoh's daughter discovered him or found him, or her maiden did, and brought him to the daughter, and she took him into Pharaoh's palace. How many of you know Moses was born and bred and raised in Pharaoh's palace? He had it all. He had the best there was. I mean, he was raised in the palace of the king by the king's daughter. He had the best. But the word Moses means a stranger here. So in a period of time over the years, Moses knew that he was of the stock of Israel. He knew he was born and his bloodline was of Israel. And Moses also knew, if you'll study the Word of God, that he was supposed to be the deliverer of Israel, even before he left Pharaoh's palace. So one day Moses, after he had become grown, over a period of years, he had learned the ways of Pharaoh and the teachings of Pharaoh. He had the best of everything. But Moses, if you'll read the last part of chapter 2 of Exodus, was out in the field, and what happened was he saw an Egyptian afflicting one of his brethren, and he tried to take matters into his own hand and stand up for his kinsman, and he actually ended up killing the Egyptian. And he thought that by doing that he would impress the man of Israel that he tried to protect, but that's not the way it worked out. Actually, the man turned on him and asked him, well, what makes you think that you have the right to protect me? But anyway, when Pharaoh found out that Moses had killed one of his men, then Pharaoh, in modern vernacular, put a contract on Moses and said, we'll just kill him. So Moses fled. And the Bible said that Moses went to his uncle's house, and what happened was he ended up tending his uncle's sheep on the backside of the desert. Now here's a man that was born with Israeli blood, chosen to deliver the people of Israel from Egypt. But over the years, in the midst of the years, some things happened that changed the course of his life. And his destination was a sheep herder on the backside of the desert. How many of you know that all of us have all too many plans that we want to see things happen in our life? We're seeking joy and happiness, and we're seeking service in God, and God has burdened our heart when we were young, and we know that there's something we need to do for God, but through the years, things happen. Things happen that changes that outlook. So, God has got the man that he wants to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt with, and he wants to use Moses to do that. But Moses, through the years, has done things himself that changed the plan. Now he's on the backside of the desert, and he's fleeing from his past. How many of you know we do that? How many of you know that people will get frustrated in an area because things went wrong and things happen, and they decide, well, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to move to another state. I'm going to get a new job and change. But I'm here to tell you, folk, your past will follow you. I don't care where you go. But we have a tendency, like Moses, Moses saw no other choice but to flee Egypt because Pharaoh had determined to kill him because of what he'd done. He had to leave. All too often we get that same idea. We need to leave. Hide from our past. Flee our past. In the midst of the years. Fleeing from our past. But I want to remind you of a scripture this morning. It's a very personal scripture to me. And it's found in the book of Romans, chapter 11, verse 29. You can go there if you'd like, but this is what it says. It says, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. How many of you know what that means? That means that God chose Moses to deliver the children of Israel a long time ago. Moses, because of things that he did in his life and things changing in his life over that period of years, ended up fleeing from Pharaoh's house, ended up with his uncle tending sheep on the backside of the desert. But guess what? The call of God's still on his life. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Do you realize how many people go through misery after misery after misery trying to flee from their past when they should be yielding to a call God put on their life 30 years ago? Trying to avoid it, trying to ignore it, trying to get away from it. Go to Jeremiah chapter 29. This is a scripture you need to read. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 29, you know, Jeremiah was that prophet that nobody listened to. How many of you know that I would be frustrated if nobody ever listened to me? Brother Harold, you would too. If you preached for years and years and years and nobody listened, it would kind of frustrate you. But Jeremiah came to a point in his life in chapter 29, verse 11, where he said this. He says, I'm just going to hang it up. I'm not going to do this anymore. You're looking at a man that, and my wife will tell you that has took this Bible, this one, and throwed it down on the bed when I got home and said, that's it. I'll never again preach the word. Have I not done that? But you know what? It's impossible to do that. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. God is saying this to you this morning. Listen to what he's saying. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. See, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God doesn't repent of calling you to do something. You may not ever do it, but God doesn't change his mind. Verse 12, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me, listen to this, when you shall search for me with all your heart. Jeremiah said, I'm through. I'm done. I'm quitting. It's over. I'm not going to do it anymore. But you know what he found out? It was a fire shut up in his bones. He couldn't get rid of it. He couldn't sleep it away. He couldn't work it away. He couldn't ignore it. He couldn't run from it. He couldn't flee from it. It was always before him. See, for Moses, in the midst of the years, everything had gone wrong. And he was on the backside of the desert. He started out right, but in the midst of the years, things happened. And he went wrong. With Jeremiah, it was the same way. He started out right. In the midst of the years, things happened. So he decided, not going to happen for me anymore. See, life doesn't always turn out the way we envision it to turn out, the way we plan for it to be. I'm here to tell you this morning, church, that there is a path of life. There is fullness of joy. there is pleasure forevermore. Moses had fled from Egypt to Midian, murdered an Egyptian, come under threat from Pharaoh, settled down with his wife and family, worked for his father-in-law. Actually, it was not his uncle, it was his father-in-law. And he was a shepherd, but he couldn't get away from his past. So Moses had taken a flock of sheep on the backside of the desert, even farther than the usual grazing grounds, out on a mountainside, in the wilderness. But guess what? He ran into God out there. Moses was out there fleeing from his past, and all of a sudden he sees this bush. Now, was this bush set on fire by lightning? No. The Bible said it was burning, but it wasn't consumed. And Moses thought, I'm going to go over there and take a look at that. He's on the side of a mountain called Horeb, which, if you'll study the Word of God later, will be called Mount Sinai. So he walks over toward this bush, and all of a sudden, God speaks to him out of this burning bush. Out in the desert, on the backside of the desert, he's running from his past. Everything's gone wrong in the midst of the years. Things have changed in his life. And God said, Moses, he didn't call him once. He called him twice. He called his name twice. Folk, I'm here to tell you this morning, I don't care what your past is, God still wants you. God still needs you. God still desires you to fulfill the calling he's placed on your life. In the midst of years, maybe things have gone wrong. Maybe things have changed. Maybe things have absolutely devastated you. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Moses, Moses. Moses said, wow, on the backside of the desert. I'm here to tell you this morning, this is my message to you, folks. God is looking for people who will simply be obedient to him. And yes, in the midst of years, things happen. Things that you can't control, things that will absolutely devastate you and change your life. But it doesn't change God's mind about you. God still has his hand on you. And God's message to Moses out of that burning bush was this. Moses, take off your shoes. The ground you're standing on is holy ground. What did he say to Moses? Those shoes that Moses had on his feet depicted Moses' ability to travel and go the way Moses wanted to on his own. Now Moses is on the backside of the desert. He's in a desert place. And God said, Moses, take those shoes off your own holy ground. God is saying to us this morning, relinquish your will, quit running from your past, turn and take your shoes off your own holy ground. You're in my presence. My gifts and my callings I have not repented of. I still need you. I still want you this morning. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter what happened to you in the midst of the years, come to me, your own holy ground. Yield yourself to God. So if you're looking for that direction in life that I read to you about in Psalms, if you're looking for that path of life, and if you're looking for fullness of joy, and if you're looking for pleasures in the presence of God forevermore, you will never find it until you take your shoes off and get on holy ground and get before God and let God have your life. You can flee your past all you want to. God called Moses by name, not once but twice. See, God was claiming Moses to do what God chose him to do in the beginning. And if you'll read the rest of Exodus in the chapter that we started out with this morning, you'll find that God told him that. He said, I've chosen you. I'm going to send you down. I've seen the affliction of my people in Egypt, and I want you to be the man. Now, think about this. God said, I want you to be the man to go down and confront Pharaoh. Now, Pharaoh's got a contract on Moses' head. Now, you have a lot of faith in God to go back and confront the man who has put a contract out on you. Amen? But that's what God was calling Moses to do. And in the midst of the years, Moses had a lot to happen to him. You and I have had a lot happen to us. But you know what I found out this morning? God, the God I serve, is a God of a second chance. Maybe you're here this morning and you just decided that the vision you had is never going to happen. In the midst of years, things have happened, strange things that you couldn't control, but there's just too many things happen. And God's never going to use you. I'm here to tell you this morning, if you get on holy ground, take your shoes off before the Lord, God will honor you. He will bring you back to where He can use you. He used Moses to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. After Moses had done all he had done. But I want you to know this morning, if you feel that fire within you that God placed in there years and years and years ago, the flame has long since gone out. There's not even a flicker. Look at Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. Let's just read that verse of Scripture. It keeps coming up, so we're just going to go to it. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. Look at what he said. I will not make mention of him or speak of him, speak any more in his name. This is Jeremiah's determination. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay. I want you to know, folk, in the midst of years, things happen. If you're fleeing your past and you're fleeing that those things that have happened to you in the midst of years, you are a miserable human being right now. The solution to that, if you're looking for that direction in your life, that joy and peace that God promises you, God is saying to you this morning, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. Amen? What is it that in the midst of years you gave up on? What is it in your life that you, years and years and years ago, God spoke to you about and things have happened and trials and troubles have come and you gave up on it? You kind of put it on the back burner and the flame is not even flickering anymore. But this morning, as I have preached this message, the wind of the Holy Spirit is starting to stir that fire. And there's just a little flicker, a little spark, a little ember starting to burn once again in your soul of that dream, that thing that God had in store for you. You're starting to remember. In the midst of years, you just kind of put it aside and forgot about it. This morning, you're remembering it. I'm saying to you today, if that's your case in this service, put off your shoes. You're on holy ground. The ground on which you stand this morning is holy ground. The God of a second chance is talking and speaking to your heart this morning. What was Habakkuk's prayer? Let's read it. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy works in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. Sister Bird, if you will. If you're here this morning and God is speaking to your heart, I believe this message is for somebody. I don't believe God sends this kind of message to a service if somebody's not going to be there to hear it? And I know, folk, life is real. We need to understand that. In the midst of years, things happen. Our plans get sidetracked. Death comes to our loved ones. People get divorced. Children get killed in car wrecks. Things happen in the midst of years, from the time that you dream something till the time it actually comes to pass. But if God has placed a dream or a vision of a ministry or something in your heart, maybe that flame has grown dim, but God is still present. And even on the backside of the desert, where nobody else but you is at, He'll come to you in a burning bush. And He'll speak to you and He'll call your name, just like He did Moses. He'll remind you of what He called you to do. Then He'll remind you that the gifts and the callings of God, they're without repentance. If that call was ever on your life, still on your life. That's the way God is. I want us to stand to our feet this morning. And if you feel like that God has touched your heart this morning, if you've felt that little flicker of a flame once again in your life, and you need to talk this over with God, if you need to allow God to deal with your life, I want you just to slip out of your seat and allow us here at Harvest Time to pray with you. Just say, Lord, I'm coming home. I'm standing on holy ground. I'm taking my shoes off and I'm going to follow you. I believe you're a God of a second chance and I want that second chance. Every head bowed, every eye closed, Christians praying. Sister Bird, if you will.